I'm so excited for what God has just did for you. It's awesome. You're still glowing. It's a wonderful thing. Pastor asked me to go through this real quick with you, and I'll just take a few minutes, and I think you're going to see the importance of it as we move into it. But let's just ask God to help us see the Word of God for what it is for just a moment, okay? Lord Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to study your word. I'm so thankful for what you just did. I pray right now that understanding will come that will help us to live a lifetime closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look here, right here at the beginning, Genesis chapter 28 and verse 16. All right, it says, "And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And so sometimes, God works so quickly, unexpectedly, it just takes you by surprise. I mean, just God's just boom, it's unbelievable, right, what you've experienced. Of course, sometimes there's a gradual moving to this point. But whatever the case is, I think it's very important for us right now to stop, slow down, because we're excited and we're feeling it all. But let's just ask, what just happened? What's going on? Because these questions are going to come. And so what just happened? And so in these next few moments, we're just going to look at what Jesus had to say, what his apostles had to say, and how we can keep moving forward. All right? So let's start right here, John chapter 3. And we're actually going to start with verse number 3. A man named Nicodemus came to Jesus, talking to him. And so Jesus speaking back, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot, say that word, cannot. That's a strong word, ain't it? He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And of course, Jesus was speaking of a spiritual birth. Verse number 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born, here it is, of the water, you can underline water, and of the spirit, you can underline spirit, and again, he cannot, go ahead and underline that too, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So unless we are born of the water and of the spirit, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So it's very important. And so what are the two parts of being born again? It's water and spirit. That's what Jesus said. And so when Peter preached the new birth on the day of the church was born, that day of Pentecost, what was it that he said? Let's look at it. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 says, Now when they heard this, Peter just got done preaching. When he heard this, they were pricked in their heart, or they were stirred inside. Just like probably what happened to you today, right? That's right. They were stirred inside, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? We need to know, what do we do with this, what we're feeling? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and everyone has to repent. That means to turn away from sin. That's that first step, is we got to turn towards God. But then he gave us these two instructions. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so, and then he went on to say that the Holy Ghost, the promise is for everybody. But again, what did Peter say that corresponded with how Jesus described being born again? He said here that we must be baptized. You can write that down right there, which is water. We baptize in water in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that spirit. And so Peter preached being born again, the water, the spirit, baptism in his name, filled with his spirit. That's being born again. But so right now I want to kind of shift a little bit. We see that very clearly, right? And so now some warning, some danger here, because Satan does not like what God is doing for you. And he is going to very soon try to sow seeds of doubt in your mind. The battlefield's in our mind. That's why we've got to get knowledge to understand it. And so whether it be in your mind or actually bringing people, there'll be people that will come that you haven't talked to in weeks, months, years, all of a sudden trying to get you to go here, do that, and sowing seeds of doubt. It's going to happen. I'm just telling you right now. I know you're glowing, and that's exciting, but Satan does not like what God's doing. And, of course, we don't care what he thinks. But, you know, is it real? Is it important? You know, why did I do that? Why did I go up front? You know, what difference does it make? And so all these things will begin to come to you because Satan begins to try to probe at your mind. But this is very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So how do we keep Satan from getting an advantage of us, for us to have an understanding of the devices or the things that he uses to try to pull us back? So it's very important that we don't want Satan to have an advantage over us, right? You don't. Exactly right. And so we understand how he comes about things. That's how we move forward. When Jesus was attacked by Satan in the wilderness, you can read about it in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Jesus pushed against it with the word of God, the scriptures. And that's what we need to do. It's not my opinion or your opinion. It's the word of God. And so what does the scriptures have to say? That's what matters the most, what the scriptures actually have to say. And so we're going to look at a few things, and we're just going to let the scriptures speak for themselves. All right? All right, let's look right here. What name did the apostles use when they were baptizing people? What was it that they used when they were baptized? Now, there's a few scriptures you see here that you can read later, but right here, let's read Acts chapter 8, verse 16. This is what it simply says. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what name did the apostles use when they baptized? Jesus, right? All right, go ahead and put that down, Jesus. All right. Now, here's another question. Does the name really matter? Sure, they baptized in Jesus' name, but does it really matter? Let's look here, and there's some more, again, you can read later, but Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation, underline salvation for me, all right, in any other, for there's no other name, underline name, under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, underline must be saved there. And so here, in this one verse, salvation is mentioned twice in connection to the name of Jesus. That's the name it's referring to here. And so does a name really matter? According here, that salvation is attached to that name, right? So you can just circle yes there. It does matter. Another question, should anyone ever be rebaptized? You know, the Holy Ghost just touched you. God moved on you. And so, you know, people start wrestling in their mind, should I get rebaptized? Is there any reason why I should ever be rebaptized? And I'm going to give you the reason scripturally right here. Acts chapter 19, beginning with verse number 3. He said unto them, these are some people he met, Paul met. He said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? Because they have been baptized. They said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so when people were rebaptized, the only reason why is if it was not first in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so the answer to the question, should anyone ever be rebaptized? The answer is yes. We should all be baptized again if it has not been in the name of Jesus. So, is you know, we're talking about baptism being rebaptized. Of course, we're talking about being born of the water. Is baptism even a salvation issue? Well, first of all, Jesus said you should be born of the water. But 1 Peter 3:21 says, the light figure whereinto baptism doth also now save us. So baptism is part of our salvation. And so being born of the water, just like Jesus said, is very important. All right, now let's kind of shift here about being born of the Spirit. Is receiving the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of Christ, let me just say, receive the Holy Ghost, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, all these are talking about the one Spirit, God's Spirit. So Holy Ghost is referred to a lot, but sometimes the Spirit of God, different things. So is receiving the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of Christ, is it important? Is it important to have? Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ or the Holy Ghost, he is none of his. Jesus is saying, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you're not a part of me. And so is it important to have the Holy Ghost? The answer is yes, absolutely. It's very important. You circle that. Here's another question. Did believers in the Bible speak in tongues when they received the Holy Ghost? Is that what happened? Let's read a couple of scriptures right here about this. Acts 2 and 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So did the believers speak with tongues when they received the Holy Ghost? Acts 4 and 2, they most certainly did. Let's look at another one. Of course, there's more you can read later. Acts 19 and 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So did they, the New Testament church, the believers, when they received the Holy Ghost, did they speak with tongues? The answer is absolutely yes. That was the initial evidence. And so that's, we're talking about being born of the water and the Spirit. And I want you to know, because there's questions come, is it important? Is this? You have some biblical context here helping you understand absolutely, as Jesus said, I must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And that is being baptized in his name, filled with his Spirit. So going forward now with some knowledge, here's some knowledge, some things that we know. Here's some things we know. First of all, you must be born again, right? We see that in the scriptures. Must be born again. And so that's very important, because if not, we cannot get into the kingdom of God. Number two, Satan hates it. Satan hates the fact that you are moving forward in God, that you just experienced, and he is going to fight you. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That's what the Bible says. And so you don't have to worry about it, but you do have to know what's going on. The number three thing that we know here is that we must grow, right? This is called being born again. When you're born again, is that the beginning or the end of what's happening in you? The beginning, right? That's exactly right. So being born is the beginning. It's not the end. You know, you have arrived, but now you have to grow. My 7-year-old son right now, if he still looked and act like when the day he was born, there'd be a problem. He's 7. He should have grown by now. And so spiritually, now there's this growth process that has to happen. And so how did the New Testament church grow? Right here on the back, this is the last thing. How did they do it? What is it that caused them to grow spiritually? Let's look at what happened here. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. This is what the Bible lets us know. They met in the temple and house to house. They met in the temple, the church, house, and from house to house. Here at Acts 20 and 20, Paul taught them publicly and from house to house. And so the New Testament church not only came together for public worship, like we're doing right now, but also in small group Bible studies, personal Bible studies. They got together like that. That is how they grew spiritually. And so if we want to be everything that God wants us to be, I believe right now we need to make two decisions. Number one, don't let the devil stop or steal what God has begun in you today. Don't let it happen. You know, things are going to come and try to say this or that. You know what you've experienced. It. Now you see it in the Word of God. Don't let the devil try to pull that away from you, okay? So that's the first thing. Number two, this is how the new church grew. Right now, we should make plans to study the Word of God. First of all, just daily reading the Word. But also the way Paul said, I actually taught you. And they went to each other's house and studied the Word of God. And so Pastor has asked me to teach you this, and also to find out, do you want to know more about the Bible? Do you ever want to learn more about the Bible? Yes? So this is something that you know you need. So with that in mind, I'm asked by the pastor to teach. And so what would be a good day for us to get together? I got 2 days right now, Tuesday evenings and Thursday evenings. What would be better for you? For us to get together and discuss some other things that Pastor has for us. Between Tuesday, okay. Now, would it be better like 6:30 or 7:30? 7:30, okay. Let me go ahead and write this down. So Tuesday at 7:30. And we can do this at my house, your house, or we can be like at a Starbucks or a park or something. Where would you like to meet at? At your house? That would be awesome. And so at your house on Tuesday at 7:30. Let me give you my name and my number, and let me get your number as well and your address. So we're going to your house, so I know we're going. All right, awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm so excited for what God has done for you. Let's just take a minute one more time and just pray about what God is doing, okay? Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you have done. I thank you for filling with the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the Spirit of God moving. I pray that the Word of God that we have studied today, God, will get into our heart, take root, and grow. Help us to grow in you. And I pray right now already that you will begin to prepare for the Bible study we're going to have on Tuesday. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, obviously, I just finished the What Just Happened Bible study, and it takes right at 15 minutes to go through all of it. But there are times, and you're going to have to feel this out both spiritually and by looking and observing. They say that the first step to revelation and understanding that is observation. Open your eyes and look and kind of get an idea of what these people are feeling and going through at the moment. But you'll save about 5 minutes if after you go through the warning and there's danger ahead and Satan, you don't want him to get advantage over you. And when you start coming to these questions, if they have a blank slate and they have nothing that other people have talked to them about where you have to disprove something, sometimes I just come to this page where it says, what name did the apostles use in baptism? Does it really matter? And I'll just skip all of that and go right to go forward with knowledge. And the reason that you have that there is to make the point. But what I say is, now when you go home, it's going to be very easy for you to answer these questions because the Bible speaks for itself. Just read over that, and that will give you knowledge. But now, how do we go forward with knowledge? How do we really move forward? Here's some things we know. We must be born again. Satan hates it. We must grow and then try to set up the Bible study. And so that may be the way you want to do it. That will shorten it to just under 10 minutes instead of being 15 minutes. And it's a great Bible study to teach. It's easy, it's quick, and it should help people truly understand what just happened and give them some fortitude when the enemy comes against them. I hope you teach this. I hope you let your altars not only be fruitful with the Holy Ghost, but let them be fruitful with understanding in Jesus' name.